Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite and glide. Hello friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello.
Matt.
Yo, what's up?
Aaron.
Hi.
Jason.
That's me.
And returning is Melissa.
It's me. I'm here.
Yay!
Welcome back.
Yay. Thank you.
Tell us more about how Sailor Moon is the better show.
Oh. I didn't mean it.
We've been lacking in Sailor Moon insights for a long time. I've
been looking forward to that.
Can I make a confession? I feel like when I said that, I was being a little aggressive.
A little defensive.
Regardless of truths, it was a little aggressive.
Well, this is the show for that.
Okay.
A little hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. It's all fine.
There's hyperbolic things in Dragon Ball Z, right?
Yeah. Chambers.
For instance.
That's about it, actually.
It took a second. it was like a staggered, delayed reaction. Yeah, there's plenty of hyperbole in Dragon Ball Z about how Vegeta is the ultimate fighter. He understands every weakness.
I've heard that one before.
Fighting is unparalleled.
God, I realized what my favorite thing about Vegeta's whole Super Saiyan persona is, at least as far as we've seen, is that like he's sort of going a reverse Machiavellian route. Like, he's doing good things, but don't worry, it's all for evil. Like, yeah.
I promise I'm a big baddie.
I'm gonna kick the bad guy off of the good guy, and I'm gonna make sure he gets home and takes his medicine, and I'm gonna protect this kid, but for real, though, I'm evil.
Pure evil.
Doing it because I want to.
Franz, joining me on this episode, I have some bittersweet news. We all knew that this day would eventually come. We have reached the final installment of Tyler's OC Corner.
Oh.
Sad to say.
I consider this good news because I didn't know it ended. I mean, I assumed it already ended.
It'll go dormant for a few years, but then we'll get to Tyler's OC Corner Super. Oh,
God. Let's just not talk about Tyler's OC Corner GT.
Or, yo, it's Tyler's OC Corner's returned, and it's friends.
Maybe by the end of this podcast, I'll start making OCs again.
Well, that's what this is all about, Tyler. This is our intervention for you. We're laying down the brushwork. We're putting down fresh loam for the seeds of creativity to sprout anew.
It's an intervention to get you to do it again.
It's like, I see. We're Nappa, and your brain ideas are the Cybermen.
You've stopped, and we're worried about that.
Now, you may be asking yourself, there's still a lot of show left. Why did you stop making OCs?
I was asking myself that.
I will return you to, I think, the first episode of this show, where I mentioned that, like, towards the end of my viewing, my initial viewing of Dragon Ball, I started to meet other people who liked anime, and it made me not want to like anime anymore for a while.
My predictions.
That's rough.
You had leveled up to a point where you had installed shame into your hard drive.
Exactly. So OCs were beyond me at that point. Or I was beyond them, rather. I was above it.
Yeah.
But no longer. I have no shame anymore.
Yeah. You've grown up.
You're not like One Piece.
Yeah.
I've just gone full circle.
So my last OCs are androids. I made some
of my own. Nice.
I made androids 14 and 15, because at the time, I didn't know that those were already things.
Oh, those are already things?
But they're not canon, because they're in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Right.
Dragon Ball's weird, y'all.
Also, yeah, it is. Also, I used Roman numerals because I liked Final Fantasy, and those were cool.
Ah, damn. Nice.
They are cool.
Tell us about them.
14 and 15 are sisters. They are hippies, and okay. They are hippies because I decided to use the concept of the hand doodad, but I put it in their feet. So as long as their feet were touching the ground, they couldn't be defeated.
Oh. I feel like I'm getting insight into young Tyler here.
Wait, like, are you saying they siphon energy from the earth?
Yes.
That's exactly. Dope.
That is That's dope,
really
actually.
Cool. It'd be really That's cool real if smart. A villain did really did that.
Yeah.
Like, in some sort of upcoming arc.
Oh my. This keeps happening, Aaron, to you and me. It's like, wait, is that a thing?
Wait, are you...
It's a brand new thing.
Tricking me? Right. Foreshadowing. I cannot
Somebody call
tell.
Fib cops.
Got you fibbing.
And I do have an image to share.
Yeah, I was going to say, what else about them other than their shoeless hippies?
I got a...
Oh, ah! God. I love that!
So, for this modern interpretation... You can see that I kind of channeled Midoriya for one of them.
You did! Right. Oh, I'm so happy!
This is magnificent.
I love that little ball of spinach right there.
Yeah.
I love her poofy sleeves. I love the bell bottom pants. I love everything about these girls.
All right,
oh
listener,
my gosh.
Listener, hurry up and go to Twitter so you can look at this too.
I love the sunglasses. They're very good.
Please. Please do.
I'll try to remember to post them this time.
That tie-dye shirt, it looks like, I don't know if this is, it's got like glitter edges, is what I'm interpreting here from the color.
Very good. Also, this sparked me to look up a figure from mythology, which I did find on a whim. Yeah. This came from the labors of Hercules. Antaeus was like a half-giant or something, and he was invincible as long as he remained in contact with his mother, Mother Gaia, the Earth.
Oh, yeah. Ah.
That's definitely what I was referencing.
Super, yeah, match. I agree.
Very intentional.
Yeah.
So, before I close out Tyler's OC Corner, I will remind you that I had a secret from last time about one of the characters. My cool boy with a sword.
Yeah.
His name was Nox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is he the one who was from a video game? Kind of.
The design was lifted a whole cloth from
Chrono
Cross. Yeah.
Can I try and predict the secret?
Please do.
Is it that he's actually Android 10?
He is Android 10.
Oh, no!
He was a turncoat.
Whoa! Oh, no! I love it.
Because he's number X!
I love it so much. I, like, haven't drawn fan art in forever, and I legit want to draw all these androids that you made. Yo, I love them so much.
That's real.
This is actually making me legit upset that in, like, the Xenoverse and other, like, games where you can make your own characters, they don't give you the option to be an android.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird... They made up some choices, but Android is not one of them.
Yeah.
And that one just, like, writes itself. Yeah. Like, mechanically. Gosh.
There's infinite numbers.
Yeah.
It's a lot of them.
Just pick one.
Yeah, even if you just stick to integers. Don't even have to talk about negative androids.
Oh, jeez.
Like, rational shit. Androids or irrational
well, okay,
androids.
Okay, but that's the most, like, 90s some... OC thing I can imagine.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is some DC Comics level shit.
Android Tau.
Hell yeah.
Android Quadratic Equation.
The sine, cosine, and tangent triplets.
Android Pi.
Oh,
I want to make Android Pi now.
Good. Android E.
Here's the deal. I don't want the OC
Android
train to stop.
Constant.
Yeah?
I don't want the OC train to stop. I'm calling out to you, the Frans. If y'all had OCs when you were growing up of your cool DBZ people, fucking at us. At Destructo underscore disc on Twitter, babies. Tell us this shit. We are hungry.
Again, so we hungry. Don't have shame.
No shame. I will be proud of each and every one of you.
Well, thank you all for joining me on this adventure while I looked back on my childhood memories of Dragon Ball characters and gave myself a reason to draw them again.
Thank you for sharing.
God bless.
Would you guys like to talk about episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
I thought about it.
Episodes been of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z.
Dying to.
This week, we're covering episodes 136, 137, and 138. We're almost done with season 4.
Wow.
Is that, I saw that.
Yeah.
Seasons. Is that still just, like, arbitrary Funimation deciding where the seasons end?
It absolutely is.
Completely.
I mean, they did their best to make sense of it, but it is still pretty arbitrary. The first episode we're starting off with, 136, the English title is No Match for the Androids.
This is one of the worst English titles yet.
I think it sounds pretty accurate.
It's accurate, but it's a terrible title. But I suppose that's a good point. Like, what terms are you grading on?
Not a lie.
And in this guy, that's
ask
your
so much.
Benchmark in this fucking show.
My bar is very low. I have set it on the ground.
Describe something that happens at some point inside of the episode.
The Japanese title is pretty buck wild. It is Nobody Is Able to Stop Them. Is this the end of the Z Warriors?
So about the same.
Kinda, yeah.
Pretty cool.
It roughly translates to let's watch our heroes get their shit kicked in for 20 whole minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
See, that's a good popcorn. That's a title right there. That'll be my novel.
Now, there's something very important, I think, about this bunch of episodes in general, but especially about this first one, 136, mm-hmm. which is that the narrator is having the time of his fucking life.
Oh,
we
absolutely.
We are fully Stan Lee at this point.
Jesus,
he is
God.
Fully transformed into Stan Lee.
The real microchip Excelsior. Off the old block.
The high-tech horrors.
I was going to ask, do you guys have any favorites?
Sinister Sister!
Yeah, I've got a few at the end of this episode because they, of course, the outro is just as buckwild as the intro.
They bookend
where
it.
They have synthetic psychos and computer-driven crazies.
Yeah,
yeah. After he said synthetic psychos, I yelled, that's gotta be a band. It's gotta be.
Everyone.
Also,
capsule, we're synthetic psychos.
Also, the recap subtitle says Trunks, the boy from the future, but the narrator doesn't actually say the boy from the future part.
So the subtitles are just helping out.
Yeah.
Just in case you forgot
already.
Parenthetical.
Mm-hmm.
My full name is Trunks, the boy from the future. Brief.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, I wonder. Like, I know that this is ostensibly a TV show, and so they're like theoretically trying to hedge against the idea that somebody might tune in on just this episode. But it's like, oh,
right,
Trunks,
yeah.
The boy from the future. Oh. That explains everything, clearly. That's helpful.
What's funny...
It's like Boy Wonder, you know?
What's funny is they still do this shit with that character. Like, if you pick him in FighterZ, like, normally if you pick a character, it's like, I'm Goku, the hero of the people. But if you play Trunks, he goes into this giant diatribe, like, my name's Trunks. I came from the future, traveling fast, to stop the androids who are going to destroy civilization.
I will say up front before we begin, this week, taken together, these episodes are fine, but each one individually, not a lot happens.
Yeah.
No.
It's very patty.
It is.
This first episode in particular, the recap mm-hmm. is 4 minutes long and recaps the past three episodes.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, the recap music got bored and started to loop in on itself.
Yeah, this is a 22 minute episode of a cartoon, and they used 4 of it to tell you stuff that happened already.
In the previous 66 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I didn't mind because it means we got to see Vegeta get his arm broken again, which I could watch that all day.
Iconic.
Once the episode actually starts, I think the voice actors might have been hitting some union issues or something because they invent so much dialogue in the beginning of this episode.
Really?
The first, like, conversational line of dialogue that's not just, like, an exclamation in the Japanese version is 9 minutes in.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
Which I'm sure is a good mood setter.
Yeah. So Trunks jumps in, same as last, the end of last episode, but he chips his sword on Android 18.
No!
Yeah!
Future sword!
There goes my theory that it's a special sword designed against Android.
I mean, it could still be.
But Tapion gave him that sword.
Who?
Who?
When? How?
I missed that.
How? And furthermore, why?
Oh, don't worry about it. Right. If you're confused, I'm referencing one of the movies that aren't canon, where they, for whatever, decided to give him an origin story for the sword.
A sword origin story.
It's an anime. I expect there to be an origin story for the sword.
Yeah, it's a sword.
Swords don't just come out of nowhere.
There's gotta be a background behind it. You
can't just make a sword.
No.
Swords don't just show up in shows like this without prompting.
The sword came from a mysterious warrior who was trapped in an object for a long time, and he has a mohawk and a sword and an ocarina and pointy ears.
Uh-huh.
So
cool.
Take that for what you will.
And now, broken.
Yep.
That sounds pretty cool.
Sounds like a good guy.
So everyone jumps into the fight except for Krillin. He just stands there and watches his friends get beat up for a long time.
I mean...
He knows his place.
The guardian
yeah,
of the
somebody
Senzu
has
beans.
To tell the story.
You could call it cowardice, but he just knows better.
Krillin's not throwing away his shot!
Android 17 did warn him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't get involved.
Krillin's the only one that listened.
Yeah.
He's a good listener.
Following the rules.
Yes.
Considering what happens later, I think he's starting to settle back into his position, his understanding of his destiny.
His nihilistic defeatist position.
Android 16, who is also off on the sideline, just smiles at Krillin, and then he lets a bunch of birds perch on him.
My favorite this is so Disney cute. Princess.
Pastel teenage raccoon and his pastel birds.
Oh my god, I love that shot. He's just randomly pink this whole time through, and I'm like, yes, 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 yes.
That's just how
well,
he
Well, how
sees
do you feel
world.
When birds perch on you?
Pink.
Like birds always appear whenever you are near 16.
Does teen raccoon have the bird powers Mr. Satan pretended to have?
I think so. He's a challenger to the throne.
Oh. Mm.
I had an interesting thought during this scene, which was we know kind of the behind the scenes origin story for 17 and 18, but we don't really know the one for 16. And I was sitting there thinking, like, why did Toriyama give an ally to these like heinous monster androids, who is a, like a literal gentle giant?
Yeah.
The Disney princess we've waited for.
Yeah.
This whole time.
16 is one of the seven princesses of heart.
I think I did figure out why, but I can't really go into it without spoiling anything.
But you have a theory.
I do.
For later.
Yeah, I can't really go into it without spoilers. I'll just say, for the people who do know what happens later, I believe it's because there is another character who is a pacifist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'll say.
You think he's just planning ahead? It's a long con.
I think this is one of those instances where Toriyama actually did plan ahead.
Actually thought something through. Makes sense. So the Z-Warriors get splatted.
But both Trunks and Vegeta get exactly one chance to be cool, huh? in this whole business.
I mean, as far as we know, they get the one. I mean, I'll tell you what I think about iconic Trunks moments. It's not in the Android saga. It's him doing a bunch of jutsus and blasting Frieza into a baby.
Yeah, that's what
Sorry
I mean.
Sorry about it.
That was him getting to be cool, and then mm-hmm. Super Saiyan Vegeta gets to fuck up.
Yank some arms off of a pudgy android.
A pudgy clown. and that's his...
Yeah.
Yep, he's done.
Yeah, the bit where he just, like, flies in yelling, FATHER! I said to myself, yeah, that's his role now.
Poor boy.
That's...
It's his favorite line now.
Yeah, that's
He's
Trunks
doing
now.
His best.
He is.
Vegeta's Super Saiyan aura finally fades away as he passes out, and Krillin, now on his own, hopes that the androids don't notice him. The androids immediately notice Krillin.
When this happened, I wrote down in my notes, alright, time to take bets. Does solar flare work on androids?
Before Girl's we get to maker. Find out, there's a commercial break before anything actually happens in this episode.
And then we go right back to that, right? Right back to Krillin?
Yep. The important plot continues. Oh, wait, it's Marin and Turtle.
Yay! I didn't get a chance to rewatch and, like, take detailed notes that I wanted, but I love Marin.
Still?
I do, because it's just she doesn't make any end. Sense. She makes no sense, and I love it.
She's an enigma.
She goes with the flow. That's my style.
She is a mystery not meant to be solved.
Well, she kind of makes me wonder, she and like the stuff she gets up to in this and the next episode, and the behavior of the other normal humans we see, makes me wonder if, like, as much as we give the Z-Warriors shit for being idiots, I wonder if maybe they're the smartest people on the planet. And the rest
an
of the
even
world
more
is...
dangerous notion.
Oh god, yeah, especially... We see. Considering the gap between them and Dr. Briefs.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, yeah, it's exactly the way he wants it.
Yeah.
I'm going to read my next two notes verbatim. Turtle defends her honor against two weird trespassing surfer guys. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, this is a lot of the episode.
And I'm okay with that, because it's great.
I'm very okay with it, because number one, these two random surfer guys pretty much look like a Yusuke Kuwabara AU in a speedboat.
According to
I'm
the subtitle
cool
attributions, their names are Shades and Buddy.
Love it.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Good, yes.
And didn't one of them just straight up have Jace's voice?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
More or less. And number two, like, this is... fully what we were theorizing before, where the true master of the Turtle School.
Oh yes,
that I wrote
is
down.
Turtle.
That's why they call 100%. It the Turtle School.
Master Roshi don't do nothing.
Yeah, this explains a lot, to be honest. At least for, as far as I'm concerned,
it does put merit to the fact that maybe Roshi was trained by Turtle.
I haven't seen the original Dragon Ball series. Have we seen this Turtle do things before? Because I've never seen this turtle do things before.
I don't think in a fighting context like this. Mostly just existing.
I mean,
as a
technically
turtle.
Speaking, we still haven't seen him do it.
That's true.
It did happen on
saw him take a stance.
He had a stance. That's halfway there.
Yo, I'm very here for the stance.
Oh, yeah.
That's the turtle school stance.
That turtle knows kung fu.
He did get pretty far inland in the very first, like, episode or two of Dragon Ball, if I remember right.
I want this to be a true thing. I want Goku's iconic pose from the Goku-Vegeta fight to be learned from Turtle originally. And I will not rest until that is the truth.
We will declare it to be so, and so it is. It
makes sense to me.
Well, also, again, Turtle not really fighting makes it more likely that he is the true Kung Fu master.
Ah.
He knows when not to. So we've been dancing around the events here, but long story short, these two, like, absolute speedboat yahoos come roll up and try to give Marin a hard time. Turtle fucking busts open a can of whoop-ass.
Well, to be clear, they roll up and try to flirt with Marin, which she is immediately on board with until Turtle reminds her that she's waiting for Krillin.
Right.
Because Turtle is too good for this sinful earth. This sinful dragon earth.
His lot in life is to be disappointed.
He's still looking out for Krillin.
Turtle copper tones Marin as she tries to go across the beat.
And I also want to put in a great note for the voice acting here, because Turtle taking that turtle stance.
Mm-hmm.
In the Japanese, he's just kind of going like, But the voice actor in the English, just he does a really like low murmury. He goes, "Kamehame Turtle."
Yes, yes,
good.
And I was very pleased with this.
Marin spins him around and wants to give him a reward. And he is
oh god,
very
a kiss on the beak.
Not on board with this.
Oh my god,
whatsoever. Oh. And shrinks inside.
It's impossible.
He shrinks inside his shell. In the Japanese version, he's just like repeating Krillin. He's just like no, Krillin.
Oh,
Krillin. And then she gets upset and does kind of a everybody's talking about Krillin. I'm tired of hearing about Krillin.
You know what?
That's what you're here for.
she's a very affectionate person. She just gives smooches to people, like, for being nice. I think that's just a normal interaction.
Turtles,
but everyone
plants.
Apparently takes that as, just like, no, no, I'm a married man. Like, come on, turtle. It was only a kiss. It was only a kiss.
Oh, we're boyfriends now. Cool.
Coming out of my shell, and I'm doing just fine. God, I gotta be down because I won it all.
I just want to know why she spun him around.
She's so excited. I posit, I have a theory that now she has spun him around, and then she just like knocks him over on his back, his ultimate weakness, and this is no longer Kame House, this is Marin House.
She's defeated the master of the school.
She's won.
Back to the thrust of the episode. The androids spare Krillin, and they don't bother asking him about Goku's location, because that'd take the fun out of it.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
It's a game. You can't use cheat codes.
This is the part where I start to really, really like Android 17.
How I love this fool. Very much a journey over destination kind of guy. Mm-hmm.
I appreciated the English voice actors for 18. Saying in the same cadence as the Japanese voice actress, the bye to Krillin. which is kind of like, I guess, kind of her catchphrase.
Just slyly saying
like,
goodbye?
Yeah, a sassy bye. Because she does it in FighterZ as well.
Yeah. Oh, I love a sassy bye.
Because Bulma and Yajirobe are complaining, they go to Capsule Corp first.
There's no way Chi-Chi would have either baby supplies or food.
No way.
While they're bullying Gohan into doing this, in the Japanese version, Bulma says, "You're just like your father. You're the type that's going to have a hard time with women later on."
Jesus, Bulma.
Which,
what?
Thanks, Bulma.
I guess just like, why don't you just automatically do what the ladies tell you to do? With no question.
Yeah, sure. I'll just ignore my dying father. We'll go.
Yeah,
visit.
Yeah. Fuck seeing your sick dad. We need to get diapers.
I like that Gohan basically says, my dad could die at any time, but sure, we'll go to your house first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that this scene is a very important scene to remember about Gohan's character arc. So I'm going to put a pin in it for later.
Oh, I'm excited for this pin.
Aww.
Krillin finds his backbone and tries to intervene with the androids before they leave to go kill Goku. And he just tries to, like, talk them out of it. The doctor is dead, you don't have to do what he says anymore. But the androids are kind of enjoying themselves, so they're going to do it.
Android's going to android.
Yep.
Yeah, bots just want to have fun.
And my last note for the episode is that Krillin is having a lot of mixed emotions today. Because his friends are almost dead, but a girl kissed him on the face, so that's pretty cool.
This is an iconic scene. We get to see the smooch.
The smooch.
A smooch of fate, I might say.
Why did she smooch him?
Why not?
He didn't save her from surfer dudes. He just sort of challenged her existential, you know, whatever,
existence.
Purpose in life.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she appreciates that philosophical rigor.
All right.
I know I would.
I mean, I can't begrudge a girl that.
I have a question for the people who know the plot. If they listened to Krillin, do you think this would have solved the arc?
Like, if they had listened to him?
Yeah. If they were just like, you know what, you're right. Let's just go somewhere and chill.
You can end any arc with a good enough diplomacy role. It's like, what if my speech was just high enough and I just made everyone do what I wanted?
I think that future events would still find a way to play out, is what I'll say.
Yeah, the killing of Jiro is kind of the main catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's done is done.
Yeah.
I have no idea what any of this could be.
Yeah, this arc, as we said, it's very twisty. A lot of secrets.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's what I love.
And more to come still.
Any other thoughts for 136?
Just that Master Roshi's magazine he's reading is just all just two pictures over and over.
It was all the same page as it fluttered in the wind. I loved that.
It's a magazine misprint, but he's a collector.
It's a rare edition.
His favorite misprint.
It's just more confirmation that he's not really as lewd as we think he is.
I'm beginning to think that Roshi is a never nude.
Oh, no.
I really didn't need this information today.
This is the theory that's been bubbling up.
There are dozens of
over this arc.
Dozens.
Jesus.
Anyway, ruminated on that, but for now,
I don't want
137.
No. I'm sending this back, waiter. Garçon, no.
You 137. Take this hot take back. The English. Off. The English title is Last Ditch Effort.
I'll have you know that the Japanese title roughly translates to Piccolo's Resolution, the last measure in his reserve.
Oh boy, that Piccolo.
Oh man, I got some shit to share on this one from the Japanese version. If nobody else
is special in this episode.
Good.
So Krillin does what he's there to do, which is distribute beans.
And be really bad at math.
Bean boy. Krillin, learn basic addition. Buddy. That was my first note.
He says there's six left, and he hopes there's enough to split between him, Piccolo, and Tien. There's six left. There's three people.
Well, he also says that Vegeta's in really bad shape, so I might have to give him a couple of beans.
Is that a
yeah? That was a weird.
Krillin, I don't think that's
I don't
how
think
sensu
that's
beans
true.
Work.
No, it's not.
He's not Yajirobe. This isn't his job.
I guess that's true.
I think they've cut them in half before to give you like a half boost. I don't know if you could get a double boost from two beans.
I like how Krillin took one look at Vegeta and went, yeah, that looks like a toon bead job.
I think that was
for sure.
I think that was intended as a burn. Mm-hmm. It had to have been.
Well, as we'll find out later, clearly one bean was for the physical damage, and one bean was for his bruised ego.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of, he's taking the loss particularly hard, and he temper tantrums off alone.
My note says Vegeta rage quits to space.
Yep.
Yeah, he does.
That's on brand.
While yelling, fuck this game.
Yeah.
I came back so
he throws the
cool.
controller.
The DBZ equivalent of hurling your fight box.
And then he walks over and picks it back up.
Trunks tries to follow him, but Piccolo stops him. Vegeta needs his space. And Tien is not confident that even with Goku's help, that that's going to be enough to take on these androids. Because he's not that much stronger than Trunks and Vegeta, and they didn't do very well.
It's a fair assessment.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I started to reflect about how, like, I really have never seen a story that is so fastidious about keeping every character around, but also equally fastidious about not letting them actually do anything when you put in the effort of keeping them around. Like, in an anime context, like, you had to go and get voice actor, you had to bring him in every time to record Tien and Yamcha's dialogue, even though their purpose is to stand there and be like...
Yamcha's dialogue.
And and be like, whoa.
On purpose.
Every now and then.
Multiple weeks.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the major character with the least amount of dialogue?
That's a good Turtle. Question.
Yeah.
Turtle Cow's a major character. Okay, I mean, Z Warrior.
It's probably Tien.
I think so too.
Tien or Chiaotzu?
Sad to say.
Actually. Unless you count Chiaotzu as a Z Warrior.
Who would?
Rude.
We would. He's a punch idiot.
Little backpack boy.
He's the little emperor.
Yeah.
He's the little emperor who could.
Once.
Trunks takes this opportunity to reveal that these androids are apparently much stronger than the ones he's familiar with.
My timeline is all fucked up now.
Yeah.
Damn.
This is like a hard non-deterministic universe. Like, shit can just change.
Yeah.
You don't even need to make a choice to change it. It can just be different.
Yeah. Just the act of him traveling through time changed the timeline.
I mean, I've seen Doctor Who. That makes sense.
Yeah. Also, this sequence is where we get a very unsettling close-up of Krillin.
Oh?
How so?
Krillin is, in fact, rendered with white eyes.
Ugh, I missed that.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Maybe I took an extended blink.
Maybe.
A defensive
your mind,
blink.
Yeah, it blocked out the information, like a gloveless Vegeta. Like, cannot bear to fully witness.
Piccolo is the next to throw a temper tantrum and blast.
What was this?
God, yes.
I have to do this alone!
At first I thought that he was going to do that thing that you guys mentioned ages ago in the DB moves, and like he was going to make a blast and then go through a portal in the blast to get to hell or something. But...
What?
That sounds really cool.
I was trying to come up think of something that would make sense. So, you know, that was my mistake in this scene.
I just love, this is where you remember that Piccolo is not as old as he seems.
No.
Yeah.
He's a sullen little preteen.
Yeah. My note was, this is Piccolo's emo phase.
Did anybody watch the Japanese on this?
Sure did.
Not this time.
Oh boy.
Oh, what?
There's a key word that revolves around, that this whole conversation pivots around.
Oh?
That word is Nakama.
Nakama.
Oh my god.
The untranslatable.
Yeah. So when Krillin is like, what are you thinking? We're friends. You can tell us. Piccolo's tantrum begins, friends, you say? Don't get carried away with yourself. When did I ever become friends with any of you?
Oh, no.
The year you spent training with Gohan, and when you died to save him and said you're my best friend?
And Gohan wasn't there at that specific moment.
Yeah,
in that conversation.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
Clearly.
And then,
right.
He's friends with Krillin, though.
Yeah,
they did Garlic Jr. stuff together.
You can't fucking pretend.
And then the kicker, as he's flying away, he says, I'm just using you to take over the world.
Wow.
Teenagers, man.
Jesus. Demon King Piccolo, the one and only.
So Krillin susses out what Piccolo's actual plan is. Somehow, it dawns on Krillin.
Krillin's trying real hard to put all of his shit together.
You see point. Where he flew away to, did, don't you?
The sky!
And there's only one thing in the sky.
Korin's Tower. Wait, no.
Clouds. Fuck. Oh, man.
Damn it.
There's a weird change here in the translation where in the dub he says he learned this from Master Roshi. In the Japanese he says he learned it from the Grand Elder.
Well, isn't that's true, though. The Grand Elder, he learned about the stuff from Guru.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this from Guru.
Yeah. So he, in the dub, he gets his old guys mixed up.
That's fair.
They are so similar.
Yeah.
Well, now they're bringing this thing back. This concept that the person who split into Kami and Piccolo was impossibly and implausibly powerful thing. We'll have to see how it pans out.
Yes, Piccolo's plan is that he wants to go rejoin into one body with Kami, becoming a Super Namek.
As well, Krillin calls it. Yeah.
Yeah, Krillin coins that term.
He got a taste of fusion, and now he's hooked on it. For real, though, like, it kind of bugs me. I mean, I know why they're only doing it now, but, like, why didn't Kami consider this as an option during the Saiyan Saga? What makes this more world-threatening than the two Saiyans that could easily kill everybody?
Maybe Piccolo wasn't good enough yet.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like,
that is a valid point.
He hadn't met Gohan yet. Like, maybe he thought he would never have acquiesced to it. Oh, wait a minute. Also, didn't Kami... Oh, never mind, never mind. But yeah, that makes sense to me.
We cut over to Marin again.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry, Beverly.
They're watching a great show.
She and Roshi are watching Capsule Blanca.
Watching Draft World soap opera.
Oh,
I don't
so
love
awesome.
You anymore, so bye.
Beverly is too good for this fool.
It's true.
This is another one of those weird translation things where you're like, what was the conversation you guys had when you did this? They're watching two completely different movies because
really? The
dub one is when he's like, there's someone else, I don't love you anymore, and he leaves and she's like, no, come back. And then the Japanese one is, I have to go and I don't know when I'll be back, and her saying, I'll wait for you forever. And then like, and then the reaction shot is like Marin and Roshi talking about how great love is. Love always wins.
Oh my god.
Oh, so whoever
really good.
Whoever translated is a lot more cynical about love.
Yeah.
I guess. Shit.
Oh no.
It's a little less jarring with what Marin does, I guess.
Who do you think decided to put this on? Roshi or Marin?
Turtle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It begins to rain men on Roshi's Island. all manner of extreme water sport dude.
Yeah, we've got paragliders, sailboaters, people on yachts and shit. Before anyone said anything, I just assumed that these are all Marin's gay friends who just wanted to come by and kiki with her.
I started wondering if maybe she was, like, famous and was hiding out, like, using Krillin as a cover.
I like that.
Hiding out on Roshi Island.
They just use her Snapchat location to find her.
Yeah, yeah, that occurred to me, too.
My note for this was, it's an accent party. Yeah. Yeah. Dudes rolling up.
Yeah.
My note for this was, these idiots all look like Pokemon gym leaders.
You're not.
That's her storied past that she's running from.
Oh my god.
She was the Pokemon champion and she abdicated the throne.
She was just too powerful.
That explains why she's attached to Krillin. She thinks he's a Pokemon.
Yeah.
I need to befriend him so I may capture him
and Chatsu.
I've heard Krillins only evolve after you're friends with them.
It also has to be a sunny day.
Boy, this actually... This got less and less dumb the more I thought about it, because that those rules are kind of appropriate to the Dragon World setting, too. Yo, Goku evolves into Super Saiyan Goku, who evolves into Super Saiyan 2 Goku.
Da, da, da,
Frieza evolves da, da, into da, da, Frieza da, da, 2.
Mega Goku.
So Marin takes off with her harem of dudes.
They're all her boyfriends.
Yeah, her polyamorous harem.
Is this officially, like, the last time we'll see Marin?
According to the wiki, yes.
Oh,
that's
goodbye,
wild.
Marin.
That's a hell of an exit.
Yeah,
yep.
It's a nice exit.
Wave of beefcake.
Just living her best life.
I'm sure we'll check in on her in a Hail Satan in the future.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You
as
say that
as,
with confidence.
As soon as she's out to sea in the canon, she drifts towards our Fanon.
Directly into Aaron's loving arms.
I'm ready for her.
May flocks of hunkos sing thee to thy rest.
Flocks of hunkos. She's the one with the bird powers.
And I like...
Oh my god.
Roshi and Turtle swear not to mention any of this to Krillin.
And the timeline is safe.
Yep. You know, because she's not canon.
Turtle's just looking out for Krillin. Poor guy.
Can Turtle ride the Nimbus?
Yes.
If he can't, no one can.
Exactly.
I'm just like, because Goku isn't really riding around on it much anymore on account of he can fly, so I just feel like the Nimbus might be a little lonely.
I'm willing to bet Turtle's the reason why they know you have to be pure of heart.
Oh.
Because before him, nobody else could.
Gohan and company make it back to Capsule Corp. Gohan drops off Bulma, Trunks, and Yajirobe, and then he blasts off to check on his dad, because he has fucking priorities.
Yeah.
He's not gonna stick around for snacks and juice.
Yeah, Yaji cake and cookies first, Robi over here.
I was just reflecting that Panchi was probably not a very good mom, but she's an excellent grandma / vodka aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of vodka aunt, what do you think she was reading? Because she was reading a book. I'm just always curious. Maybe like a romance novel or a science thing.
She was reading Panichi for her ancestor.
We get some Kami and King Piccolo backstory.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, aka just footage of Dragon Ball.
Some footage of Dragon Ball. But we also get to see a fair bit of footage of, quote-unquote, the unnamed Namekian, the original pre-Kami Piccolo fused dude who had a chin and a set of cheekbones that were unquenchable.
That's his true power.
I like how he's the father of Kami and Piccolo and looks like neither of them at all. And I also like how the former Guardian of Earth still looked like a Garlic Jr. ass cloak idiot with glowing red eyes.
Yeah, I remembered that we wondered what they looked like, and then we decided that they just looked like that, and we were right.
I have a theory about that and the fact that, like, what we see in this flashback of the separation is kind of completely different from the one we saw when Guru was looking into Piccolo's past. And it is that Kabi is an unreliable narrator, which is my favorite thing, and that maybe he's just forgotten what the previous Guardian of Earth looks like, and so this is just what we see in his memory, because that's what he saw when he went down there.
Man.
That's really good.
That's how I saw him last. I mean,
last note that I have for 137 is Piccolo arrives at Kami's lookout, and they stare each other down.
Well, we also, I have a note here from our flashback. We do get to see the symbolic, the iconic Son Goku headbutt.
Yeah!
It's not technically the first one.
Probably not.
He has used it before that, but that is the most remembered.
That is a remarkable, that is one with follow through, is what we'll say.
I did write down, I hate this egg thing.
Yeah, where's the egg making organ?
It's the second time I've seen that, and I still don't like it.
He had a hole through his whole chest. How did he make that egg?
That's a good question.
It's upset millions of viewers for years and years. No one's happy about it.
Is he just storing it in his shoulders?
That's why the Namekian cloaks are so poofy around the neck.
Oh, it's because they got weird eggs in there?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Early in the podcast, it was suggested that that's what the weird muscle things were for, their egg gestation.
Oh, I don't like it.
No one does.
I don't like it, and I want it to
be
elsewhere.
I hate and love it in equal measure.
Any other thoughts for 137?
I have a dub improvement.
Mm. Oh my god.
After Vegeta rage quits to space, Piccolo says something along the line of Vegeta's ashamed of his defeat. Which is fair. Which is good. Mm. Which, to me, is an improvement upon the Japanese dialogue, which is, even though they're artificial humans, he was beaten by a woman. His shock must be pretty great.
Oof. Piccolo, buddy.
Piccolo, you don't have a gender.
Yeah, what are you doing, man?
You've gone even further beyond. You have no place on these things.
This is bad water.
But also, devil's advocate. He's never been beaten by a woman.
Is that true?
I think so.
He was defeated by Chi-Chi.
Was he?
Yeah, she put him in a car to learn how to drive.
That, yeah. Yeah.
That's not defeat, that's submission.
138, the English title is Closing In.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Walking Weapons of Mass Destruction. The artificial humans draw near Goku.
I love this thumbnail. It's the most amazing thumbnail.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. What's the thumbnail?
It's a bunch of biker idiots.
Oh, God, this.
Yeah, these
I forgot
guys.
This all happened.
We'll get to those folks at home. Don't you fucking worry. In the meantime, we have to get through this fucking Excelsior-ass intro where we get to, in fact, hear with my human ears the phrase, a three-fisted facelift.
Yep.
I wrote that down, too.
I missed that. What was the... Remind me what the three-fisted
Krillin?
Facelift was.
It was Krillin avoiding a three-fisted facelift. I'm assuming referring to the androids beating him up.
Yeah, the narrator says Krillin was spared a three-fisted facelift.
Kami asks Piccolo if he came for pleasure, but Piccolo came for business.
Come on, Dad Uncle.
And then Kami says that he Slash already knows because they share a bond. So why did he ask at all?
Fair question.
Kami is reconciling that his time as Guardian is probably drawing to a close, but before he agrees to merge, he wants to watch events play out for a little bit longer.
Japanese Piccolo is pretty harsh on Kami here. I forget exactly what he says in the dub, but they're just talking about fusing back together or whatever it is. And in the Japanese, he says, we won't be fusing together. You will serve only as the means for a super power-up for Piccolo. But speaking in the third person, the only justification you have for your existence anymore is the Dragon Balls. Which
Yikes.
I thought seemed like a pretty decent justification. But,
yeah.
I mean...
As justifications go.
Fucking Christ, Piccolo.
I'm turning you into my next Zenkai boost. What up?
I'm gonna eat you for lunch, Grandpa.
Right.
That's I didn't think about that one.
Lunch, Grandpa! He's like, Grandpa, who's your lunch?
That is odd, though. Why is Japanese Piccolo being such a heel?
Demon King!
Because he's fighting on the side of good and it's uncomfortable.
He's grumpy after Krillin tried to get buddy-buddy with him.
He's still trying to pretend that he's a bad guy.
Don't you fucking call me Nakama, little piece of shit.
It really is just his emo face.
Yeah.
It's just a Nakama tantrum.
Kami is not convinced that the android's aims are the destruction of the Earth, and he's also just kind of got a weird feeling. Like, something seems not right. So he just wants to wait for a little bit, pay attention to what's going on.
A weird feeling like there's going to be a twist?
Like there's going to be a twist soon. He feels it.
Kami's been around for a while. He's developed a little bit of genre savviness by now.
I've seen a twist or two.
This ain't my first rodeo,
cowboy. I watched The Sixth Sense.
I found some spoiler notes online, and I think the story's going to go in a different direction than you expect.
I heard Toriyama's editor doesn't like the villains still.
Oh my god.
Is that true?
That's true.
We're not done with design by bullying?
Nope.
Yep.
He refers to 17 and 18 as a couple of brats.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
But the
thing is, why is that wrong?
Yeah, the thing is, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, right. That's a great trait in a villain, I think.
Yeah, the past few villains have been
brats. How is Frieza not a brat?
Right?
Yeah.
Frieza, completely. Vegeta?
Yeah.
Yeah, God.
Piccolo Jr. was, like, hella
and
a brat.
And continues to be.
Piccolo Jr. begrudgingly gives Kami some time, and he sits to meditate in the meantime.
Oh, my notes, I called it a pout nap.
It is a pout.
That's, yeah.
He sits down and bows his head really hard.
Good little sky pout.
If you need me, I'll be in my room.
Tien peels off from Krillin and Trunks, who are flying now, and he says that he's going to go train with Chaozu for all the fucking good that'll do.
Yeah, at least he's honest about it.
I think he's just really experiencing some separation anxiety.
Yeah,
it's been a while since he's seen his buddy Chaozu.
This might be the longest we have seen them apart in screen time, other than the time Chaozu was dead.
It feels wrong. It feels like an unlinked pair of ice climbers, those two.
Wasn't Chaozu at Master Roshi's house when we last saw him?
In theory.
Where has he been when it's been Marin time?
He wandered off. They weren't paying attention.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He just fucked off screen.
Is he, like, with Oolong? And is it, like, the tiny character party time?
Shorty Squad!
Oh, no.
Shorty Squad. Yeah, you know, we haven't seen the inside of the house in a bit.
I just had an image in my head of Tiana, like, showing up at Roshi's place. All right, I'm here to pick up Chaozu. Where's Chaozu?
Where'd you put him?
Where's Oolong?
They left.
What are they doing together?
What happened, Roshi?
Oh no.
They took the DVDs of the sequels to Capsule Blanca.
She's just like, not gonna lie, dropped the ball there. That's my bad.
Trunks is still fretting about how major the differences are between the two timelines. It's so weird how different they are.
It's weird.
Like, that would be different. Very concerning.
What could have made all these changes?
Definitely not me. The boy from the future.
The androids are flying along, and then they eventually stumble on some dudes out in the wilderness, and these dudes work for Lucky Foods.
Lucky Food dudes.
I was so pleased about this. Even more Dragon World rednecks.
Oh my god, what a good goddamned van. What a good goddamn van this is.
Aaron.
Yeah?
This is the van.
Oh!
This
okay.
is 17's van that
Got
you
it.
Heard about on
oh
a
my
trading
God.
Card last time.
Got it. Oh, cool.
For some reason, this is the Dragon World Rednecks arc.
I do love Funimation's addiction to weird accents.
Yeah, these idiots are great. I love this stupid fucking pink-ass mystery machine van. Everything about this is fantastic.
Love their little chili coats. They're getting some coffee.
They look, yeah, they fully look like some Fargo-ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
16 lifts the van and dumps the cargo. All the androids pile in, and they take off on their new ride.
Now, we didn't exactly need to see in those boxes, but what do you think Lucky Foods was carrying in that little freighter?
pudding.
Correct.
Yeah, I was going to say cakes or pastries of some kind.
The luckiest of foods.
You know what? Cake is, in fact, a really lucky food, because whenever it's, like, presented to you for free at, like, some kind of office function or something, you're like, oh, lucky day!
Yeah.
Many times when you see it, it's because you were lucky enough to survive another year.
The true food of good luck.
Especially on Dragon World.
We cut over to Vegeta for a bit, who is therapeutically blowing up rocks.
Yeah.
It's called training, Tyler.
That explains so much about Piccolo.
One of the close-ups when he first starts going, he made a face that looked exactly like a Beavis and Butthead drawing.
That's his mindset right now. That's his headspace.
Lord.
Beavis and Butthead space.
I like it. I co-sign on this.
The androids drive through a tunnel, and suddenly Akira is happening.
Yes, it is!
Yeah.
Not only
boys.
Akira, but Akira if all the gang members were voiced by Austin Powers.
The best version of Akira.
This is amazing.
But what's this gang called, Tyler?
Did they have a name?
The Toad Warriors!
It is the Toad Warriors.
Yeah. The Toad Warriors.
There's a lot of good background people in there.
They've all got great skull logos on their bikes and shirts.
There's a goblin boy in there.
I was going to say, did anybody catch that there's a straight-up Dragon Ball character in this?
Yeah, vampire guy.
Well, there's
guy.
A couple. The vampire guy is one.
That's the one I caught. What's the other ones?
There is literally Bulma from, like, episode 2
That's
of Dragon
true.
Ball.
Yeah, just, like...
But with pink hair.
Oh, yeah, I noticed her.
Like, with the side ponytail.
Okay.
And on a biker body.
And a bunch Maybe of... An... Yeah, and a bunch of, course, a bunch of, like, freak-ass anthropomorphic gators and corgis. And
a cat. Maybe that Bulma is from an alternate universe where she had to build a time machine to travel to the future.
And just ended up as
Maybe
a member of a Mad Max
future I'll
gang.
Get a boyfriend. Whoop! And she falls in with a bad gang.
Toad
So are these the people who live outside of Dr. Briefs' perfect urban centers?
I mean, apparently. They do have... There is a Mohawk, so...
They just scavenge the roads between the cities.
These rural snow-covered roads.
They're Mad Max characters in a non-apocalyptic setting.
Right.
Yeah, the world is fine. They just choose to be that way.
They're displeased Max
True
characters.
Prosperity.
Who killed the world? Nobody. But we're gonna pretend like they did.
The androids aren't afraid to murder these people. And they do a lot of van stunts in the process.
Oh my god. 17. I have notes, I have flashcards.
He is styling on them so
there's
hard.
There's some good-ass background details here. And the biggest thing I want to draw your attention to is this billboard that the fucking van and various bikes ramp through. The billboard on one side is a soft drink. Advertising a Coca-Cola knockoff product called Coco J. And the other side has a bunch of Playboy bunnies on it with the title Stop Boy.
Oh my
I want
god.
That to be a billboard.
Stop Boy is so fucking good.
Is this just like a series of messages in Dragon World for some reason? Stop Boy, Post Boy.
Bad man. Stop Boy, Bad Man. You could all link it together into a Janet Jackson song.
The biker guys are relentless, and they start busting up the android's van, which makes them upset.
Fair.
Reasonably so.
They like that van.
They stole
they
it,
stole
fair,
it
and square.
Fair and square.
Jinx.
He was really looking forward to driving.
The androids scare off the gang, but the cops show up and jump to some conclusions.
Wildly.
That 17 and 18 are the ringleaders
yeah,
of this
in the dub
game.
At least.
Hey, these aren't dog cops. They might not be good boys.
Yeah, well, I think they have to be good boys because these two are the Sheriff Blubbs and Deputy Derland of
Agnolin. Yeah, I was going to say, there's some good old boys. I said that exact thing.
Like, I can't be the only person who thought that.
No, my brother and I both agree with you.
Good.
When we watched it.
The androids get cuffs put on them.
Them android dupe boys are up to no good.
17 looks so amused at the handcuffs. He's like smiling.
Yeah, this is cute. You guys are
he
adorable.
Thinks it's some good fashion. Like, oh, these would be a good little bracelet.
Yeah.
Not very functional, but they look nice.
18 throws the cop car into a mountain, which is a total power move.
It is, yeah.
While still cuffed.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In the Japanese, the line is so good because they pull 16 out and they cuff him and he, I don't know, moves an inch and the handcuffs shatter.
You're right.
And the cops are like, he's resisting arrest. And then 18 walks forward and says, doing something like this is resisting arrest. And then throws the cop car.
Nice.
That's hell not, yeah.
Yes, excellent. Ma'am.
This goodness. Is that's not a rock. This is a rock.
And then fuck the police so just starts playing.
So the androids go about their day back in the van. Krillin and Trunks arrive at Goku's house, and they start packing him up with Chi-Chi and Yamcha into a jet to take them all to Roshi's to buy some time before the androids find them.
I love Goku just being in a bed inside a cargo plane, and I'm just really hoping that's just gonna free slide on his journey. Like a Looney Tunes skit.
I have a problem with this whole business.
Yeah?
So the bug has been following Goku for like his whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bug would have followed him to Master Roshi's house.
Yep, the bug would be very familiar with Master Roshi's house and its location.
And knows that Goku has a significant connection to the person who lives there.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's almost like that's the second place they would check.
Yeah.
Other than his house.
Right.
Still after his house.
You know? That's true.
But also... Like, would the androids use the information? Well, no, I guess they already did use the information from that. Well, would they use the information from the bug?
Was Krillin present for the explanation of the bug? I forget.
I think so, right? It was when they were about to fight 19.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I think he was there. Krillin is dumb and makes bad plans.
17 did straight up say he doesn't want to know where Goku is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fun of it is finding him without help.
I guess he did, like, explain that to Krillin in detail. So,
So I guess the last place they'd look is the place that it would make sense to look.
That would be too easy.
I think he secretly knows, like, where the places where Goku would be, and is just trying to, like, take the long route to get there.
The scenic route in a van.
The adventurous route.
Well, with 16 just in the back being like, why aren't we going to Goku's house?
Show me Goku.
I can show you how to get there. Here, I'll put it on your GPS.
Oh, 16, look, a bird.
Can you tell me how to get to Goku's house?
No, 16, look out the window. There's a big bird.
I have the address right here. It's Goku's house.
Mountain. Gohan arrives shortly after Krillin and Trunks and joins everybody in the jet. And my last note for this episode is that the narrator tells us that in the next episode, Bulma's going to get a telephone call that changes everything.
What the fuck is this cliffhanger narrator? Gohan?
Successfully kept me on the hook.
He says it will add an entirely new dimension to the crisis.
No,
I don't remember any of this shit, so I hope he's right.
That sounds
Everybody
wild.
Everybody put on your 3D glasses.
Oh, whoa, a third dimension. I get it.
The show's gonna go CG.
Like that one Simpsons episode.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, this is around where Reboot got big, right?
Oh my god.
It's Dragon Ball Code Lyoko.
Codely Goku.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Yes.
Exactly, Goku.
Correct.
You're a criminal.
So any other last thoughts for 138?
Yeah, Aaron's a criminal.
Send Fib Cops after me. I don't care.
Holy Goku.
I've seen those cops. You can take them.
I have one thought in that I have a pretty strong, vivid memory of pretty much everything that happens in the show. And mm-hmm. except that so far, Mr. Shu and the Toad Warriors have been the only things that pop up that are like, I don't remember this at all. And those have been my favorite moments of the show so far.
Because they're brand new.
They're new mm-hmm. to me.
Mm-hmm. And they're pretty fun.
There was a weird little Foley inconsistency when, I think this was in 137, when Chi-Chi and then give Goku the medicine, there's a sound effect of pills in the bottle. When we have seen that bottle is very clearly liquid.
I've been making note about this because we've seen
because it
the
used
bottle.
To be pills.
The bottle is liquid, but we also saw Yamcha like pull out a little yellow capsule out of the pill bottle and give it to Goku. And I just don't know if this medicine cannot decide on what form of matter to take right now.
It's a quantum medicine.
By how easily Goku swallowed it.
Maybe the medicine rapidly shifts physical form, and that's what makes it special.
It's like
and
super
from the
advanced.
The next shot is just going to be, it's just going to be a vapor.
Just a vapor egg.
An aerosol.
Goku, you need to breathe deep and exhale that cotton.
make another Nimbus.
It's also got to be self-regenerating because that is a tiny little bottle they have been getting a lot of mileage out of.
Oh yeah, everybody's drinking it too. Three people.
It entertains me a lot. I enjoy looking at the comments on Funimation, and usually they're like just mad about side characters existing.
Sure.
But right. For these episodes in particular, the thing that people have been yelling about has been whether or not the medicine is pills or liquid. They're very angry.
It's so good.
So we have three people, at least, recording with us, who have no idea what that phone call's about, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
Jason, do you remember what it is?
Nope, no idea.
Matt?
I have a vague idea, but I
right.
don't remember exactly.
The people who have no idea, I want to hear what you think it is, or what it could be. Where's the twist going?
I don't have even the faintest idea. I'm going to assume it's from Dr. Briefs telling her something that has to do with robots.
I think it's more time travel shenanigans.
Ooh, yeah, what if the call is from herself?
Yeah, Bulma for the future.
Yes. I mean, who else would she listen to?
It's a good point.
Good point.
My thought was maybe, I don't know, maybe Dr. Giroux had like another android set aside for like if he got blown up, but he figured it would be Briefs, and if he got blown up, then the other android would get woke up and then be like, I'm gonna super duper come get you.
Yeah,
Briefs,
I was
family.
Expecting when they I didn't really mention it at the time, but like I was actually really surprised by what 16 turned out to be like.
Maybe the android is Bulma.
Oh no!
You've been an android the whole time.
I was actually very surprised by what Teenage Raccoon turned out to be like, because mm-hmm. I thought that they were about to release some sort of unstoppable berserker that couldn't be controlled because Duro didn't finish programming him, and I've been kind of waiting ever since then for the idea of a plot point that's related to like something that can't. Like that they screwed up something real bad for everybody by killing him so quickly. So I've been kind of looking, keeping an eye out for that as we go forward.
These are all very interesting theories.
Are any of them anywhere near correct?
Literally all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, cool.
Just mash them all together.
That's the best answer.
And you're all right.
Interesting.
I love it.
Good job, team.
Yeah, well done, team.
High five,
you
team.
Solved Dragon Ball.
Solved the Dragon Balls.
So we'll find out exactly how all that plays out next time. But for now, let's quickly hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
And we're done. Thank you, Matt.
He has been sufficiently hailed.
Hey, quickly.
So last time, Videl and her team, her retinue of Satan's lackeys are trying to investigate that attack on what I looked up to be Amenbo Island, is the name of the location. And they ran into Zenzu, who was also trying to investigate Dr. Giroux, but Zenzu sent them off the trail to keep them safe while he did it on his own.
Aww.
Because he's our fanon version of Piccolo. Basically.
Yeah.
More or less.
The smart
and
one.
Meanwhile, in the background, we capped off Mr. Shoe's story and sent him off to live happily in the woods.
That's a wild
swinging
man.
From tree to tree with his whips. Yeah.
Aww, good for him.
So who should we check in with this time?
Real quick, I want to point out, I was trying to think of a pun, and I realized that Toad Warriors is already a pun on Road Warriors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is the joke.
I just now got that, so.
I for one, I want to follow up on the TN search for Chiaotzu.
Yeah, and I'm curious about the Toad Warriors. Like, what are they up to now that they've run from the police and the androids?
Not to influence anything, but I did notice on the wiki page for them that they do ride the exact same model motorcycle that Launch rides.
Oh, dang! I smell a team-up in the future, maybe.
Or perhaps Launch was an original member of the Toad Warriors, but then splintered off to do her own thing.
She rode with them for a while.
She launched a solo career?
She
did.
Is she the Tetsuo of their gang? Which one's the Kaneda?
Is there going to be a gang war in Hail Satan?
Please.
I'm amazed we've gone this far without it happening.
I need there to be a fucking Akira jacket with a sensu bean on it that says "Good for health, bad for education." That is required. That is mandated.
The Toad Warriors go to war with the bad chicks.
Hell yes! Goodness gracious, I love it.
What kicks it off? What is the catalyst?
One of them sees Launch in the news after her rampant crime sprees that she's been committing in our show.
Ooh,
is it
when
just
she
notoriety?
Left, when she left, was it like something about I'm getting out of the Road Warrior, Toad Warrior game? I'm gonna go on the straight and narrow and go help Kung Fu Boys and fall in love with a three-eyed man.
The beefiest of chests.
But then now they're seeing she's getting back into crime with some other fools?
That lying bitch.
I've got a layer.
Two-faced, if you will.
I've got something to layer over top of this.
Oh.
Perhaps Videl catches wise to being let off the beaten path and continues her own search for the androids. Comes across this biker gang. Hey, did you find these like weirdly strong, like but seemingly normal people? And the bikers were trying to, like, save face, and, like, he's like, no, we didn't see anything. Get out of here. And starting to give Videl a hard time.
We've never lost a fight.
You miss, like, Videl is, like, de facto at least associated with the bad chicks a bit. Mm-hmm. So you mess with one, mess with them all.
Ooh, yeah. I like that better.
Beelzebubra fucking swoops in on an Akira bike. Don't you talk back to my baby.
Matt, what's Tien up to?
Well, I was going to say...
Do you have Chiaotzu go to Red Ribbon?
No, Chiaotzu is wandering, like, on a street, and that
just lost somewhere.
Yeah, Launch is riding down, and then she almost crashes into him, but he uses his psychic powers to save himself, and the bike explodes, and then now Launch has psychic powers also.
Oh no! She dreams of a lot of toys come to life. Milk. Oh. It's not great.
For some reason, there's a number on Chiaotzu's hand now.
Oh no!
Oh.
I'm sorry I asked. My last question, Aaron.
Yeah.
What does Marin do on her octuple date?
Oh, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that it's kind of hard to do when you've got eight guys, but like, I've watched one season of The Bachelorette, so like, probably they do like an obstacle course together, or like,
They just find one somewhere.
Yeah. It just... I'm sure that Marin could, like, sweet-talk somebody into making one for them. They all work together. All the guys work together to build the obstacle course that they then have to go through to get to her. But it's, like, no hard feelings. They all still then afterwards go out to, I don't know, a spa. They just hang out in a hot tub.
Can we reverse engineer Tenchi Muyo into this?
I mean, that's kind of what I was angling for.
Like, is one of them like a space prince, and the other like another one's a space pirate?
Well, one of them has green eyes.
I don't know what that is, but I like the sound of it.
it's a '90s harem anime.
There's a weird rabbit in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's space cops.
And a little scientist.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there already are all of those here in Dragon World. So, yeah, why not?
And the main character is special for some reason. Mm-hmm. But in this case, yeah, the main character is Marin, who we already know is definitely special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Space pirate, space cops, yeah. Love it.
Yes to all.
On board.
Get you a rabbit, get you a all those guys, all those boys.
Jason.
Yeah?
It's time for a 4-star reading, I think.
Hell yeah. Let's look to the stars. So, did y'all know that various DBZ characters have actual canonical birthdays and thus have actual canonical signs?
No way!
Yes way.
Whoa.
It might also interest you to believe that Krillin has a canonical birthday of October 29th, which makes him a Scorpio. So, in conjunction with our 4-star readings of the past, we're going to flip over to the horoscope section and read off a little something-something for our favorite little chestnut boy. So, Krillin, and specifically, I looked into horoscopes that had to do with, maybe something a little romantic.
Oh.
So
he's feeling some feelings this week.
Yeah, and we're here to help you process those. Krillin
received one of two smooches
reading.
This week.
Exactly. half of the total smooch time on this episode.
A bald boy and a turtle.
So
also
bald technically.
So Krillin, here is your reading. It may be time to share a secret or two. So pick your most trusted pal and just dish. Whether it's about the little crush you haven't told anyone about, or the wacky dating plan you've been concocting in your head, good things will totally come from spilling the beans now.
Oh, Krillin!
It's okay to fall in love with a killer android.
Yeah! She doesn't
just let
you.
It happen.
Yeah.
Love can bloom even on the battlefield.
Don't spill those beans, though, because Vegeta might eat too.
We need those beans.
Yeah, hold on to the beans, but for sure. Kiss God, that
is,
robot.
Is Krillin
lady.
The ocelot to Goku's snake?
Vegeta has always been the ocelot to Goku.
Yeah.
Don't even
Krillin
don't
is the Otacon.
That's what I meant, Otacon.
Yeah,
I don't
Krillin,
play
is,
MGS.
Krillin would be lucky to call himself Otacon.
Would he pee himself in front of a killer android?
Do you need to ask me that question, Matt?
Yes, he would.
I didn't bring it up, but Krillin did try to dish this week, didn't he? Like,
he
once
did,
he got
yes.
everybody up, he's like, are we sure those androids are really all bad?
Yeah,
he tried to soft launch his proposal to Trunks, basically.
And Trunks is like, yeah, man, they're really bad.
Yeah, I come from Hell Future. What up?
Killed
you see Gohan over there?
Millions
they killed
of people.
Him.
Well, thank you all for listening. I appreciate all of the friends that tune in every week. Dave, what should the folks know about you?
I wish he'd given me time to concoct a "Will I like long walks on the beach" type joke response there. No.
Just dish, Dave.
It's time to just dish.
I can be found at Scythe, Psythe on Archive of Our Own. I write fanfiction.
Matt?
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Let's see, I can be found on the Twitter at MonumentusMatt. Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud. What's another one?
Zanga.
Yeah, that I don't know what that is, but you can find me there on
TikTok.
You joke, but that's probably about to happen.
Well, now I have to think of something else.
But you can find me under that.
Christian that Mingle.
Username. Oh, yeah.
Farmersonly.com.
You name it. I'm there. Under Define Prog, that's one word. I'll go start adding this third one. You can find my rock and roll metal band on Bandcamp and Facebook, Null in Void.
Aaron, how about you?
Me, I don't do things on the internet much. But if you happen to be in the real world in or around Dayton, Ohio, you can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. And we have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I perform on Thursday nights with a cool group of people.
And Jason?
Hey, hey. I can pretty much be exclusively found on the Twitter. That's JCavs is my name. That's JAYCALVES. Come by for bad puns and great art.
Melissa, how about you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter and technically Tumblr. YouTube occasionally. I don't have an upload schedule because animation is hard. But
full-time gig?
Well, that too. Under Kristaya, KRISTAIA. And just for funsies, if you're having a bad day, my dog has an Instagram, if oh. you're into that.
And who wouldn't be?
That's Super Golden Kara, because she's named after Kara Danvers, Supergirl.
I have to follow so that.
Super Golden Kara, K-A-R-A, and she's very cute.
This show has a Twitter. We're at destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. We also have an email, which is destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would be so kind, please rate and review the show on any service where you pick up this podcast. And when you do that, give it a 4-star rating.
What, 4 stars?
That's the Gohan ball.
Most we people like ask Gohan. For 5.
Give me the Gohan.
We are not
give
most people.
Give Tyler the Gohan, specifically.
Help us become good and not evil. Just like how Gohan helped Piccolo do that.
Otherwise, a child will projectile himself through your stomach. And you'll be forced to shoot an egg out of your mouth of yourself.
We don't make the rules, we just watch a hit anime.
Please keep us in check.
Before we go too far beyond.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away.